Woo! How are we going, church? How well did Bree go? Let's give this girl a hand. It's so much fun to be here on the north this week. We did our best to link our leadership meetings. Half of South was missing because the flu had devastated our ranks, which is, you know, clearly the only reason why Queensland lost the other day. But there may be a couple of others, but we just choose your reality. It was so fun to look at, see the faces, and even today I'm looking at seeing faces that have been here for the whole journey, some that have been here for 5 minutes. If you're just arrived for 5 minutes, welcome to the family. It's so much fun to be on the adventure together. Isn't life an adventure? Like, it's an adventure. I just got back from youth camp, stayed at the Yandina pub while we were at youth camp, Lee and I did. That was an adventure. I tell you, I was watching the people working at the pub with some of their staff, and it brought to mind children's ministry. As people sort of took in more of the product that was available at the pub, they became more and more like the children. And somebody broke a glass, and I saw the girl behind the bar look just like a mother. Oh, fantastic. So much good. It's not my problem. But youth camp, 130 people at youth camp, just a tremendous move of God. It's so much fun. And what was great is we had a bunch of people from North there, which was really cool. First time North represent. But it is so much fun watching this community just emerge here on the North, and you know, people saying yes to Jesus. And I just want to take this moment to just thank and honour Ben and Emily. Let's just give them a hand. They have faithfully stewarded this all the way through and are continuing to do that. And I'm so excited. I'm so incredibly proud of you guys. So well done. Hey, we're talking about suddenly. Suddenly is just a great, I love it. Whenever God turns up, there's a suddenly. You know, we don't actually like transitions, do we? Transitions are awkward times. That's when you sort of left this, but you haven't got that yet. You know, when you're sort of hopping across the rocks, and you know that to get to that rock, you need to launch from this rock. I remember one time Lee and I were, this was on our honeymoon, so it was a couple of years ago, like well and truly into last century. We were climbing down Fox Glacier, and we had to leave, we sort of had to jump across a gap in the glacier, and so the guide sort of did it, he chiseled some bits. And you had to launch from this lump of ice and land on that lump of ice and hope you didn't fall into the crevasse because you'd never come back. And but we all did that, but it's a little bit daunting. We had an Asian girl trying to do this. You were trying to get to this one here without leaving this one here. It was never going to end well. And transition is awkward because you have to let go of something to grab onto something. And that in-between stage, because when you're hanging onto something, I know who I am, I know why I am, I know how this works. You know, like if you ever left a job, you've resigned from one job, haven't got the next job. You're waiting for a miracle. You're believing for the miracle, haven't got the miracle yet. You're moving. Moving is apparently one of the most stressful things. That's why the Higgins do it all the time. It's like a habit for them. Every 6 months, they've got to move somewhere. They had, on the south side, they had two houses. They'd just go between them. So they had one in Sunnybank. Oh, we're sick of Sunnybank now. We're going back to Forest Lake. And just because they needed to move, because of the transition thing, it gives you opportunity to clean the house. But we don't like transitions. That in-between phase is like awkward. It's sort of between. So today I want to talk about the in-between phase. I just got back from diving with my son. Me and Jonathan went scuba diving off Cairns. We've done this trip before. It's just 3 days, 2 nights on a boat with ProDive. And often when you're scuba diving, it's pretty good in the reef because you can see for a lot further than normally. But you sort of go down the anchor and then they say, set a bearing on your compass and swim in this direction and you're going to find this. But on the way there, you're just on the sand and you can't see this where you're going and you can no longer see that where you were. You just got to keep swimming like Dory. Just keep. We found Nemo, by the way. He's okay. He's been restored to both his parents. So we've had a miracle there. We had little Nemo and both his parents in the anemone. So that was. So you can rest easy now. But You've just got to keep swimming. You've just got to keep going, believing that this is correct. I'm going to stay. I'm not going to sort of lose the plot and go back or think I must be making a mistake. I've just got to keep going. I've just got to keep swimming. You know, we're in the in-between. We read the Bible, but we don't read it from the in-between because we read it from knowing the end. Have you ever read, sort of got a book and read the last page and then gone and watched the rest? Like if you were to watch that great State of Origin game while we're talking about State of Origin where Darren Lockyer scoops up the ball with seconds to go and scores, every time you watch that back, you know that Darren's going to do that. But when you watch it the first time, you don't know Darren's going to do that. And we can think, oh, you know, when we read the crucifixion story, we read it with Sunday in mind. So we think of Jesus on the cross, we're thinking of Sunday resurrection, all in the same thing. But for Jesus' mum, watching her son die on the cross, she didn't have Sunday yet. So she's in the in-between. She's in the, what? So in the in-between, it's an awkward, Saturday would have been just abysmal for everybody. But Sunday was coming, but they didn't know that because they didn't understand that. And then suddenly, Sunday, you know, whenever there's a suddenly, we think, oh, I love the suddenlies in the Bible. It's so, suddenlies always happen when things are not great. If you're ever praying for a suddenly, have you ever heard someone say, oh, I just wish an angel had come and talked to me? Just look at when the angels turned up. Unplanned pregnancy, here comes an angel. You're hiding in a hole because the Midianites are just smashing you up. Here comes an angel. The angels never popped up on a good day. So, hey, isn't everything awesome? The angels came when it was a bit tricky, when they were in the in-between, when they were not there, but they're not there. You know, I reckon one of the best suddenly moments is here in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, and Bree mentioned this before. I love Brie because every time I say her name, I think of yummy cheese. And I am a sucker for yummy cheese. And so, you know, you like people who remind you of things. What's that blue vein cheese called? Probably blue vein cheese. Thank God she's not called blue vein. But I don't like that cheese. I like Brie. And she's quite a nice person too. You should get to know her. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place and suddenly, I love that, you can highlight suddenly, go through the whole Bible, do a word search and make all the suddenlies yellow. And there was a sound from heaven like a roaring mighty windstorm and it filled the place where they were sitting. And then what looked like flaming tongues of fire appeared and settled upon each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This suddenly moment launched the church. This suddenly moment was the so what of the cross. This suddenly moment was, it defined everything else. And so Acts shows the impact of this suddenly moment when the Holy Spirit turned up on a bunch of really average people. The interesting thing is we think of them in the upper room totally thinking about this event. But when they went to the upper room that morning, they didn't really know what this event looked like. They were in the in-between. So Jesus had gone and nothing had happened. And he said, just wait here for something you don't really know what's going to be. It's going to be awesome. Just wait here. They didn't know what that was. And I think sometimes when we're walking with Jesus, we're waiting for something we don't even know what it is. We're in the in-between. Jesus had promised, and then he had beamed out. That was like 2 weeks ago. It was 10 days ago. Jesus had been ascended into heaven. And then they're just like having a prayer meeting every day. They'd elected a new disciple. They did that in the first morning. And now what do you do? Just praying. Not quite sure what we're praying for, sipping lattes, praying, not quite sure what we're praying for. Interesting thing is when Jesus was crucified and then rose again, he found them in the upper room hiding for fear of the Jews. I'm wondering if they're still in the same upper room. And I wonder if not much has changed, if they're still pretty much freaked out by their situation. And then the Holy Spirit turns up, Peter preaches his message and everything changes. Suddenly, everything changes. And today, if you're here in the in-between and you're in the middle and you've let go of this but you haven't got that, I want to tell you Jesus is in the suddenly and that suddenly is in the in-between. And Jesus suddenly can come in at any moment and change everything. The suddenly changes everything. And we need the suddenly. When we're believing for the suddenly is in the in-between. When everything's okay, we rarely see a suddenly. It's in the in-between. I want to talk about stewarding the in-between. See, this thing had been promised, but they wouldn't have understood it. Jesus said to them in Luke 24, I'm going to send to you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Or in Acts 1:8, and Luke and Acts are really the one sort of book written by Luke. It says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. But it doesn't really explain what's going to happen. It just says something's going to happen. It's going to be awesome. It's going to change you. That was weeks ago. So they're waiting for this thing. They're in the in-between. I want to talk to you about Joseph. Apparently you just heard about Joseph the other week. Last week, Ben was talking about Joseph. I want to talk about Joseph's in-between. In-between life. You know, Joseph, I just think is the best. It's just a great story. And that's why it takes up so much of the book of Genesis. And Joseph is really a transition where God stops talking about generalities and starts talking about a family and then starts to talk about heroes, specific heroes. And Joseph is a favored son. He's got 11 brothers. He's one of the youngest brothers, and he's favored because of his mum. He's the oldest son of his dad's favorite wife, and there's a problem right there. You can just avoid that one. And so Joseph, because he's the favorite one, he gets a favorite coat. If his dad wanted to make it any more awkward, he didn't just... I was talking to my mum the other day. I took my daughter-in-law down to visit my mum, and my mum was telling Michaela that I was always her favourite, which is fantastic. Later in the conversation, she asked me if I did actually know her Davy, and I'm thinking, yeah, he was my father. But mum's a little bit old, but I just took the favourite thing, and because I've always knew that. So did my sisters. And because I was a little boy and I was the only boy, and I grew up with four mothers effectively, three older sisters and a mother. Just pause and just, yeah, that was a tough thing. But here I am because God came in my suddenly moment. But Joseph was the favourite son. He got the favourite coat. Then he got a dream that he was going to be, that everyone's going to worship him. And then without the favoured wisdom, he shared the dream with the people who are going to worship him. So the brothers already don't like him and goes, oh, guess what? I had a dream last night. You're bowing down and worshipping me. And surprisingly, shockingly, the brothers weren't happy. Then he got another dream that not only his brothers but his mum and dad were going to do that. And so they're not happy. Then they sell him. So the brothers think, well, we're going to take this. We're going to stop this dream. There's no way we're going to worship this boy that we don't like. So we're just going to remove him out of that. And the enemy wants to diffuse your dream, wants to take you away from your dream. And in the in-between stages, it's really easy to let go of your dream in the in-between because you haven't got what you used to have and you ain't got where you're going. And it's very easy to get disillusioned and let go of your dream. And so his brothers sell him as a slave. He ends up in Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He works in Potiphar's house and he becomes the most trusted servant in the house, gets falsely accused of rape, gets tossed into prison. So this think about the he's gone from favored son to sold as a slave to working as a slave to falsely accused of a horrendous crime to now he's in prison. There's no court of appeal. There's no like, oh, this isn't fair. Nobody cares that it's fair. He's just in prison and there's no expectation he'll ever come out of prison. He's in prison and he becomes the most trusted prisoner in prison. And then he interprets a few dreams and he woke up one morning in prison, did his prison stuff, and then he got a phone call from the palace and suddenly he was in front of Pharaoh. Suddenly he was interpreting Pharaoh's dream. Suddenly he gave some wise advice around that dream. And then suddenly he was second in charge of the nation. Just think of that day. I'm in prison. There's no hope for release. I'm not waiting. There's nothing to wait for. Then suddenly it all changes. So I look at Joseph's life in the in-between. I think there's so much we can learn from Joseph in that in-between. While that suddenly was coming. And the first thing is, remember the dream. It's really easy to forget the dream, especially with the passing of time. You think, yeah, well, that was a long time ago. That was a youth camp, whenever. And even today as I'm speaking, you might be remembering a dream, an aspiration that you had. And sometimes what we do is we put skin on a dream and God takes us somewhere else. He fulfills that motivation, but maybe not the same way we're anticipating. But we need to remember the dream. What's the promise that God's spoken over your family? What's the promise over your kids? Sometimes raising kids can be a bit of an in-between moment. You know, they're not what they were and they're not what I'm believing for. And I love the Higgins kids. Ben and Emily shared a story one time. They went out and left their children in the care of people who were just downstairs and their children discovered chocolate. I'd like to say I was the first person to give Israel Higgins ice cream, changed his life, and has really defined the course of his life from that moment. And now if he's going home without ice cream, he goes, "Dad, but we can't go home. We haven't had ice cream." Thank you, Jeff. But you know, our kids, we're raising our kids. We're believing for this, but it's a real in-between stage, and it's really tedious. Have you noticed that kids are a lot of work? Whenever I see twins, I smile and then I think, oh, I shouldn't smile because the mother probably thinks I'm like, I just think, how much work could that possibly, like, could you possibly have any more work? I see all these gorgeous things and I think, you know, kids need a lot of maintenance. But raising kids, building a business, establishing a family, it's an in-between moment. And in that time, we need to remember the dream. When I'm swimming along, scuba diving, I need to remember the compass heading. Because I can't see where I'm going and I can't see where I've been. I just need to remember the heading. One night Joseph had a dream and he told his brothers about it. You're going to worship me. That wasn't a smart moment. You know, Joseph's dream actually launched him into his in-between. So the thing that took him away, when he was sold as a slave, he would have thought God was taking, or life was taking him away from his dream. But it was actually taking him to his dream. So his dream was actually what launched him into the in-between. And I found that so much the case. Look, Moses turns up. Moses is the deliverer who God sends back to get his people out of Egypt where they're slaves. And he turns up and says, God's going to set you free. Next minute, they're trying to make bricks without straw. Everything gets worse. Sometimes when your dream turns up, things just get more complicated. And that's why it's easy to let go of the dream. I'm a bit like that. If I'm watching a football game, it's a few minutes to the end and I just sort of give up. Oh, I won't win now. And Lee laughs at me. And then when Darren Lockyer does that, she mocks me. And I think, yeah, but what were the odds of that? But the tension gets me and I just can't deal with the tension anymore. So I just relinquish the very small, insignificant dream. But in real life, we have to hang on to the dream. You know, Joseph's dream was evident in his life everywhere he went. Look at this in his now slave, Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted him to his care everything he owned. So the dream was at work in Joseph in the in-between. He had a dream that he would rule and he ruled wherever he went. The dream was at work. And then he got falsely accused and chucked into prison. Look what happened in prison. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder, so that the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The dream's at work in Joseph still because he's still keeping the dream central in his life. In the in-between, he hasn't lost his heading. Joseph expressed leadership in every sphere that he was placed in. Even though this in-between was years and years, and it wouldn't have been a temptation just to behave like a slave. Then when he got tossed in prison, it would have been a great temptation just to behave like a prisoner. But he behaved like a king. You know, today, I just want to take a moment. You know, if you're in an in-between, you can't see where you're going and you can't see where you've been, and it's easy to feel like there's nothing coming. I remember when Lee and I moved to London, we were part of a church planting adventure in London, but it felt like an in-between. I felt like I'd stepped out of something great into I don't know what. And I did feel like I'd turned off and God forgot where I was. And it's a tough time. Today, if you're, you know, as I'm speaking, you're aware of an in-between thing. I don't have to, you know, it could be your kids, it could be your health, it could be your job. A friend of mine's in sort of a bit of an in-between season in his career and it's like, just unsettling. If that's you today, I just want to pray for God's presence in the in-between. Not just the suddenly, but the presence in the in-between. Lord, I just thank you that you're with us in the in-between. I thank you, Lord, that while we're believing for what we haven't seen, we can rest back on you. And Lord, today I'm praying for miracles of your presence in the in-between. While we're waiting for the miracle, Lord, I pray for the miracle of your presence in Jesus' name. The enemy wants to extinguish our dream. Because if he can rob us of our dream, he's robbed us of our forward momentum. The interesting thing is the very things that the enemy is using to extinguish your dream is what God's doing to establish your dream. All things work together for good. That means all. The all in that all means all. The all things work. God is going to redeem every moment, even the ambiguous moments, even the attack of the enemy, everything the enemy does for evil. And we see that in this story. God turns round to establish your dream. You may have seen some kill, steal, destroy. You may have seen the enemy come in and steal some stuff. I want to tell you, God's going to redeem even that. All things turn around for good. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. This is in John 12:24. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. In other words, a seed dying is not the end, it's the beginning. The seed's the dream dying is not the end, it's the beginning. In fact, almost always when we get a dream, we encounter a challenge. So the seed's planted, the word's received, the seed dies, hope is lost, then the seed sprouts, that's the suddenly. Second thing we need to do is be faithful with what's in our hand. You know, we can talk about suddenlies and that's great, but the suddenly may not be our current reality. So we're believing for suddenly, but I haven't got suddenly. I love vision. I love talking about, you know, the best is yet to come. I just think that's a great statement that we're anticipating more. We're leaning forward. We're stepping up. I love that whole thing. I love vision. I remember talking to someone who was building an aeroplane. I don't really into aeroplanes, but I love the vision. I love the thought of having a go, and I love it when people start a business and just roll the dice. I just love that. I just think that's inspirational. But as I'm looking forward, I haven't got tomorrow and I can't get back to yesterday. I've just got today. All I've got is today. And then when I realize that my tomorrow is actually created by all my todays, the choices I make in this moment shape my tomorrow. So I can think, well, you know, how many times have I heard people say, well, when God does this, or when I'm sort of a great ministry to Africa, or, and I'm thinking, just look after the life group that you got now. Yeah, right. Right. Oh, when I, just be faithful in the job you got now. Just turn up, but when I get that promotion, yeah, but just do it today. It's like, just be faithful with what's in your hand today. I remember listening to someone talk to a bunch of men about this and saying, you know, a good man builds an inheritance for his kids' kids. The way that looks like is we get up in the same average looking house, get in the same average looking car, drive down the same average streets to the same average job, do the same average job with excellence because we choose to, come back in the same average car to the same average house to the same average wife and kids, and we do that again and again and again. And what we do is we build an integrous future. You know, we can be tempted by the Instagram thing to sort of change the game and look for the extraordinary, but it's actually just been faithful in the average. You know what I've found is most of us are average. You know, how many people think they're a better driver than average? Just give me a wave. See, nobody's prepared to be honest. Most people say they're a better driver than average, which of course is statistically impossible. We just got to be faithful with what God's put in our hand. You know, David was tending sheep when Samuel found him, and then he was tending sheep again when he got the nod to go and meet Goliath. He was just being faithful with what's in his hand. In fact, when his brother saw him at the battle, he says, "Where are those few sheep?" And he says, "Well, I've looked after them and they've been looked after." David was just faithful with what is in his hand. Peter was fishing when Jesus called him the first time and the second time. Elisha was ploughing when Elijah found him. Just faithful with what's in his hand. Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah and received a double portion of Elijah's anointing just because he was prepared to do the menial thing. See, while waiting for his dream, Joseph interpreted and sowed into other people's dreams. Joseph's in prison and two guys come to him. One's the baker, no candlestick maker, just a baker and a butler. They both had dreams. They came to Joseph. He interpreted those dreams. The dream didn't end well for the baker, but it ended great for the butler. He interpreted those dreams. It happened exactly as... And he said to the butler, because the dream was going to end well for the butler, "When you get back into your place, can you remember me before the boss?" Of course, he didn't do that. Then years later, I think it says 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler's back in Pharaoh's sort of sphere. And Pharaoh's very perplexed by his problem. He says, "Oh, there's a guy I met in prison. He interprets dreams." The interesting thing is Joseph interpreted Potiphar's dream. He interpreted the jailer's dream. He interpreted the butler's dream. He interpreted the baker's. Whose dream can you interpret while you're on the way to your dream? Right. Just be faithful with what's in your hand. "Well, I haven't got tomorrow. I'm not in charge of the country. No one's bowing down and worshiping me, but I'll be faithful today." You know, I love this. Jesus, he told a story about some boys who'd been given some entrustment, been given something to go and make grow, like though he'd really been set up in business by their boss. And two of them come back having made a massive profit. And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. This is Matthew 25. You've been faithful in a small thing. I'm going to put you as a leader over many." See, they may have always been believing for many, but they had the small thing. And while we're on the way to our dream believing for much, let's be faithful with the little. Yeah. Let's just do today well. Right. And let's give our life right now before the miracle. Right. How many times you find yourself saying, I find myself saying, "Lord, when you bless me, I'll be so passionate for you." Let's just get passionate anyway. I think we get a bit passive aggressive with Jesus. "Oh, I won't love you until you give me that thing." And Jesus goes, "All right, I've got eternity. I'm not in a hurry. It's all good." But we say, "God, when you heal me, then I'll lift my hand." Let's lift our hands. Yeah, right. "Lord, when I get that job, I'm going to be so full." There's a song, "Shout Like It's Done" or "Prophesy Like It Is Done." And I just think, let's declare it as if it is, yeah, before it is. Right. That's what faith is. Yeah. There's one thing, it's testifying, talking about what has happened. Faith talks about what hasn't happened yet. And the last thing we've got to do is we've got to position our heart to receive. You know, the biggest miracle, I think, in the story of Joseph is that when he got the tap on the shoulder to go in front of Pharaoh, he didn't come in there cranky with Pharaoh for a start. I just wrote, before we get into your dream, Pharaoh, I'd just like to air some things that have happened to me along the way. I understand you've got a very important thing, but I've had some significant reversals that need to be reversed. And firstly, I shouldn't even be in this country, but my brother sold me. And then that woman over there, she lied about me. And now I've been in prison. I just want to point these things out to you, Jesus. Pharaoh. I'm a bit ticked off. But he didn't. He just comes in and says, "How can I help? How can I serve?" His heart was big. And then his heart was open so he could hear from God. He wasn't cranky. You know, all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In other words, there's two disclaimers on that verse. It doesn't say all things work together for good. It says only if you stay loving God, stay connected to purpose. Typically when things happen, we get cranky with God and we walk away from purpose. Never walk away from purpose. Even if the person on the worship team drives you nuts, you know what? You're driving them nuts too. It's all good. It's all fair. And let's just stay connected to purpose. Let's stay leaning in, believing for our mates to get saved. Let's keep loving our kids and planting them in God's house. Let's just stay connected to purpose and stay loving God. So Pharaoh has a dream. I had the opportunity twice in my growing up of being in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat musical. And in one of them, I was Pharaoh, but I will not sing this song. but I was very good at it. It could have been the pinnacle of my performance journey, really. I peaked early and it was a good thing to get it out of the way so I could get on with things that were actually I was called to. But Pharaoh had a dream about seven fat cows getting eaten up by seven skinny cows, seven ears of corn being eaten up by seven scrawny ones, and then he couldn't understand what it was. Joseph walks in and he says, look, what's going to happen is we're going to have seven amazing years of abundance and then we're going to have 7 years of famine. And so that's what the dream means. He goes, wow. And then Pharaoh, and then Joseph, this is a bit of license, says, look, if I was you, Pharaoh, what I'd do is I'd appoint a wise man to put aside a whole chunk of stuff during the bounty so that we can navigate through the famine. And Pharaoh goes, that sounds like a great plan and you sound like the man. And so he went from slave prisoner to the second in charge of the country, which is an amazing thing. At that point in time, anything Pharaoh, Joseph did, sorry, was unquestioned. It was not like there was a court of appeal. He said, Pharaoh said, there's no one more in charge than me. And so Joseph could have done anything. And in one of the movies I saw about this, Joseph turns around and there's Potiphar and there's Potiphar's wife and all the people who've ever done him any harm in Egypt are right there in the room, and he could have just sort of fixed some things, but he didn't. You know, let's keep our heart in the in-between. Let's keep our heart soft, ready for the suddenly. Because if we back away from that, if we let that go, if we let our heart get hard, what we do is we push away the suddenly. We actually block the purpose of God. It's not that God abandoned us, it's that we abandoned him. We can walk away from our suddenly. We can miss out on our suddenly because we just don't keep the compass course while we're swimming towards the goal. We can walk away from our suddenly because we just lose our love for Jesus. Because we just disconnect ourselves from purpose. We get bitter and say, well, God, what have you ever done for me? Well, a great deal. Jesus has done a great deal for us. You know, at the end of Joseph's life, his brothers come to him. Well, not the end of Joseph's life. Joseph's dad's just died. And the brothers rightly get a little bit nervous. They think maybe he's just been nice to us because he likes our dad. Now dad's dead. Maybe he's going to just punish us, which is exactly what I would have done. In fact, I would have just tossed them in jail for a long time when I first found them. But Joseph didn't. And you know, he said, look, we're a bit concerned that now dad's dead, you're going to punish us. And Joseph's response is really good. He says, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me. So he acknowledges the truth. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. I reckon that's a great phrase. The enemy intended to harm you, but God intended it all to good. Whatever challenge you're facing today, God is going to redeem that for your good and for the wider good. Don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to people. I missed one phrase. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. See, what it looked like hateful stuff to sort of quell God's promise actually unlocked God's promise. So here's some convictions. Joseph's in-between convictions is that, firstly, it's in God's hand. He chose to trust. God brought me to this place. In the in-between, let's choose to trust. In the in-between, let's understand that it's God's plan, and so we don't reject or resent it. God intended it all for good. In the in-between, we choose faithfulness. I will continue to take care of you. Let's make some God choices in our in-between. See, Joseph held on to his dream. Joseph was faithful with what was in his hand. And Joseph kept his heart soft, ready to receive. He positioned himself for blessing. You know, I love this passage in Romans 5. If there's a life passage for me, it would be this thing. This is the verse I love most. It says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith. I love that. So it's not because you're good enough, because here's the red hot news flash, you're not good enough. None of us are good enough. So we don't earn our way to heaven because we couldn't. It's not like if we just try a little bit harder. You know, I share this illustration. I can swim for a long time, but it's not very fast. So I can just keep on going. I'm like Dory, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. One day I thought I'd time myself. And so I thought, I'm going to time myself over 1,500 meters and see how I go. And I found out I was not much, well, I was just a little bit under half an hour outside the world record. That's pretty impressive. They do it in like under 15 minutes. I do it in under 45 minutes. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. If I just sort of pushed off the walls a bit better, got my turns happening, I might be able to qualify for the Olympics. No, Jeff, you're not that good. It's like my golf game. I don't actually need to improve my golf game. I need someone to come and play for me. Someone called Adam Scott. He can come and play for me and just write. That's what Jesus did. He says, therefore, since we've been made in right with God's sight, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. That's a great place to start. Jesus did it for us. What we could never do for ourselves, he did for us. And then look at this. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory, which is our suddenly, our ultimate suddenly. We look forward to going to heaven. But look at this. We can rejoice too while we're waiting for heaven when we run into problems and trials. In other words, while we're on our way to heaven, we can rejoice in the in-between. Because they know they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See, Jesus is our promise. He's our suddenly, and he's our strength in the in-between. Jesus is our promise for the suddenly, and he's our strength in the in-between. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I'd love to pray with you today for Jesus to do a miracle in your situation. I remember the day I said yes to Jesus, and it has shaped the rest of my life, and there's been lots of come to Jesus moments since then. But just continuing to lean back on that relationship in the ambiguity of life and say, God, I'm trusting you in the middle. And if I could do something better as I look back, I reckon I could trust more. I think I've not been a good truster sometimes. I just have just not held the course as well as I could sometimes. Or maybe I've kept going, but that sense of peace in my life was lost. Today, I want to pray for you if you don't know Jesus. You know, maybe today as I'm speaking, you're aware that in the in-between, you've sort of maybe stepped away from God. And that relationship's become a bit strained because it's just all too hard and all too painful. And you're feeling let down by God. You're allowed to admit you feel let down by God. Firstly, God knows that's how you feel because he's really smart. He's been doing this a long time. Sometimes I think I pray, you know, trying to fool God. Lord, I'm believing you. No, you're not. Not really. Yeah, I know, but like, I'm pretending now. So just work with me, Jesus. And you know, you've just sort of pushed that away. Or perhaps today you're here today in church, and I don't know everybody here, and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never personally just said, yeah, I'm yours, Lord. I'm giving you my life. Not I'm coming to church on Sunday, but I'm giving you my life. Not I'm just giving you an hour and a half in the morning. I'm giving you my life. I just love us all to close our eyes, so it just makes it between us and God. That's just a like create a God moment. No one's going to pitch your wallet. If you're nervous about that, just sit on it. Because you'll know then, won't you? Fantastic. If today you're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps you're coming back, just give me a wave. Put your hand up high and say, yeah, that's me, Jeff. Pray for me this morning. I need to reconnect, or I need to connect with Jesus. In my in-between, I need to reconnect to the compass bearing. I need to reconnect to Jesus. Just give me a wave. Say, yeah, that's me, Jeff. I want to come back into a relationship with Jesus. I want to take a couple of seconds just to give you an opportunity to respond. Say, yeah, I want to realign. I want to align my life. All right. Second group of people I want to pray for this morning is if you're in the in-between right now and you're believing for a suddenly, but it ain't here yet. And you want to kind of, you're saying, Jesus, I need you in the in-between. As I'm stepping, Lord, keep me focused on the dream. And keep me faithful in the now. Just put your hand up now and say, that's me. I'm believing for that. There's hands going up all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, today you see our hands lifted up to you. Lord, today we're surrendering our life to you. Lord, we're surrendering our in-between to you. Lord, the ambiguity of today, Lord, it'll diffuse in the sunrise of tomorrow. But Lord, today we're in today. And so today we surrender today to you. And in our in-between, we lean into you. Why don't we all pray together a simple prayer of surrendering our life to Jesus? I'm going to pray a phrase. If you repeat after me, then it'll keep us all on the same page. Dear Lord Jesus, this is my decision to follow you. Today, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you in the in-between. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in my world. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. I choose to live my life with you in charge. Amen.